Advaitic Sadhana by S.S. Cohen. Chapter 7. Sadhakas, Practicing Disciples. Truth seekers who resort to your Brahmarishi, the sage who has realized Brahman, the Absolute or Self, for guidance or of great variety. They are not and cannot all be of the same mental and spiritual outlook, the same intellectual abilities, or constitutional makeup to follow the same course of meditation or hold it for the same length of time, etc. Modes of meditation differ from one sadhaka to another, as modes of thinking and of self-expression differ among individuals in ordinary life. Inspirations and light come to all of them in various ways, and each follows them as best suits his temperament and in the manner most conducive to his progress. Again, not all come with the same amount of preparation to their credit. Some are ripe, some less so. Others are people of the world with yet very strong inclinations for the life spiritual. Some begin with material motives, but get caught on the way and turn spiritual. The Guru knows each and every one of them, yet keeps his own counsel. In his infinite compassion, he looks upon all with an eye of perfect equality, so that each disciple may, in his free and pure atmosphere, rise to the greatest heights of his spiritual potentialities. Grace and holiness flow from the Guru as spontaneously as light flows from the sun or fragrance from the flower. They are ceaseless and infinite. The foremost sadhaka is he who has surrendered himself completely to the practice which he views as the only reason for his being in an embodied existence. Nothing else matters to him. His mind remains fixed on the search for the heart, whether in his meditation, which is the time for intense concentration, or in his studies. In this mood, he makes rapid progress, for then the mind will be able to shed quickly much of its inherited encumbrances and propensities, its vasanas, and replace them by the habits of the quest. He asks nothing of the Guru that has no bearing on his sadhana, and desires nothing but to be left in peace to pursue it in his own way. Next is a sadhaka who cannot sustain a prolonged concentration, but compensates by long stays in the presence of the Guru and more study. After him comes the one who cannot meditate at all, preferring to serve the Guru in all sorts of ways. He earns the merit of serving a Guru and a Brahmarishi, and at the same time benefits by his tranquil atmosphere, with the result that his mind will, in course of time, be fit for meditation. Next is the devotee who does not strictly come in the sadhaka category. He does not stay with the Guru, but visits him off and on and performs sadhana in his own way at home. He may have a family whom he finds it his duty to maintain and look after. There is no valid objection to a married life, notwithstanding the widespread prejudice against it. The objection is to the net of complexities which a married life, especially in the present-day society, weaves around the life of the seeker, which impels many of them to keep away from matrimonial ties in order to be free to surrender themselves to the life of contemplative. Many other classes of devotees crowd round the Guru, ranging from the householder who considers sadhana superfluous, taking the master to be like a solid raft which carries all the passenger devotees to the other shore of mukti, liberation, with all the luggage of sins and shortcomings, to the one who expects a return on his devotion, or the one who first puts the Guru to the test in his worldly affairs before accepting him. All these benefit by their attachment to the Master, for no one who draws near the fire will miss being comforted to a degree by its warmth. The Guru, like the sun, sheds his light on one and all, leaving it to each devotee to receive the quantum which is commensurate with his ability to absorb. Worldliness sticks to all the disciples in various degrees, which the Master's holy presence mysteriously rubs off, particularly in those who cooperate in their sadhana with humility, detachment, and a strong common sense. The variety of ways God or the Self brings men to Him is amazing to watch. No one is forgotten, no one is forever left behind, and no one is totally annihilated as a lost soul for whatever wickedness one has at one time or other been guilty of. The creed of lost souls is not that of the Vedanta. It does not fit in with its teaching of the single substance, single existence. Chapter 8, Conclusion. Those who were already sadhakas or on the highway to release, to them there is nothing more to say. They are already safe. Nor is there anything more to say to those who are on the brink. These need a little push, a gentle push, and they will be soon squatting at the feet of the Guru, appealing for light. The more sluggish ones need a more forcible push to make them fall into line with the farmer. To those, one would suggest, do not lag behind and waste your time in useless things. Do not wait for the knockdown. You are almost a renouncer. Start your march towards your destined goal right now. As start, you will someday, somehow, change your outlook on life and your values of the things in which you have reposed your trust for happiness. For none can give you true happiness, neither man, woman, nor even God Himself, but the spiritual strength derived from self-restraint, self-discovery, and aspirations for truth. Kaivalya Upanishad begins with a prayer of the disciple to Lord Parameshwara, the Supreme Guru. O Lord, pray, impart to me the most excellent wisdom, Brahmavidya, which is ever enjoyed by the enlightened ones, and by which the wise, having freed themselves from all sins, reach Purusha, the Most High. The Blessed Lord answers, know it, thou, through faith, devotion, meditation, and through yoga. For neither by action, ritualistic, nor by progeny or wealth is liberation attained, but by renunciation alone. Paramahamsas of pure mind, by realizing the true meaning of the highest Vedanta through the yoga of renunciation, sannyasa yoga, enter into that which is above heaven and which resides in the cave of the heart, and thus attain liberation. Note, Paramahamsas are the yogis who follow the path of direct liberation in this life. See Narada Parivrajaka Upanishad. The article ends with a note, Advaitic Sadhana by S.S. Cohen is presently under print by Sri Ramanashramam, India. Besides the foregoing chapters serialized in this newsletter, it contains a Saxon translation and commentary on the Mandukya Upanishad, which is considered to be the briefest, clearest, and most practical study of the nature of man or Atman self. We will announce in the newsletter when the book becomes available.